Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. And let us read verses 13 through 16 together, and then we can be seated. Allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, as we hear these sirens right now, Lord, this is what you want in our heart, Lord, that we would be the watchman on the wall, oh God. Lord, I'm praying, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, Jesus, Let My Light Shine Bright. Let me ask this one question. Raise your hand if you feel that you truly have been born again. All right, I think that's everyone in here, amen? Well, God is saying, let that light shine so bright in your heart in the days that we live in. Can I get an amen? Amen. This is the time to allow God to arise. And to shine through your life, amen? Come on. And so with that, let's go there to Matthew. Let's all read verses 13 through 16. And the Word of God says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Verse 15. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that when they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. May the Lord have a blessing to the hearer and reader of his word. You may be seated. Saints, question. If there's one story in the Bible most people know, it's the one about Noah and the ark. Even children's books are written about Noah and the ark. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so many of you probably have quilts and blankets and children's books and things of that nature regarding the ark. I get that. You may have this somewhere in your home. And how cute it is. Amen. It's wonderful. All the animals and my granddaughter Brooklyn, she loves the rhinos, and she goes, "Where's the rhino?" I go, "I don't know." And then you got this right up here, right? They're wonderful. They're cute. It's a wonderful story for children, but for us adults, this was judgment that came. This was judgment that came. Now, they have built a relic, an identical ark in Kentucky, Williamstown, and that's on our bucket list. We want to go. They made this identical to the Word of God, and many Christians are flocking out to see this. It was on the news over there locally, replica of Noah's Ark in Williamstown. Okay, Ark Encounter hopes to draw millions each year. Oh, yeah, so people want to go see what it looked like. But what people are not realizing is that the Ark was a sign of judgment. And we're going to look into the Word of God this morning, and we're going to see the life of Noah. And how ironic, as I was going before the Lord with this message, that I heard other teachers and preachers of the Word of God that I kind of listened to, and they were all saying the same thing, so I knew it was the Spirit of God. And so, look what it says here in Genesis 6:5-13. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. To understand, saints, the real message regarding this event, we need to look a little deeper in the scripture. Can I get an amen? Not just a cartoon photo of it, because it's real cute for little children. They see all the animals. But we have to look into the account of what took place. And in Noah's story, there's a message of hope and assurance, but there's also a warning, because it demonstrates that God hates evil. God hates evil. And whatever God hates, you and I better take a liking to what he hates. Can I get an amen? Because you have, if you adhere in evil, you're walking contrary to the word of God. And so verse 6 says, and the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. God was grieved in his heart. Listen, the last thing you want to do is grieve God in his heart regarding your walk. Look at verse 7 here. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. This was a place and time where God, man, just basically repented and says, I'm so sorry I made them. But why did he want to destroy them? Why did he want to wipe everything off? We're going to see in a little bit. Look at this, verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen, saints, you're here because God has found grace in his eyes for you and me. Can I get an amen? Yeah. There's nothing that we did. He chose us. We didn't choose him. Can I get an amen? Yeah. Think again if you chose him. No, we were all headed through the course of this world. Some of us were about ready to drop into hell. And by the way, there is a hell. Oh, yes, there is. I saw a movie last night. I went to it. How many of you remember Carlton Pearson? This guy was a big Pentecostal preacher. And then all of a sudden, he says, God spoke to me. There was no hell. Everyone fled his church, man, and it collapsed. And now he's a pastor for a Unitarian church. You know what a Unitarian church is? 75% are all homosexuals living in their sin. Jesus said in the last days there would be an apostasy. An apostasy. People would run away from the truth. My goodness. And look what it says here. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. My question today is, are we walking with God? Can I get an amen? And look at this. And then the word of God says, and Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God. Corrupt. It was a stench that went up to heaven. And let me just say this. The cities in our nation are corrupt now. Can I get an amen? You're not going to hear this in most churches. Why? Because they'll just, man, don't be talking about sin in this church. Well, I'm sorry. That's the word of God. And if God did something then, he will do it again. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. Man, you got to watch out what you watch on TV now. You can't watch a sitcom no more. It's no longer Leave It to Beaver. It's no longer Father's Knows Best. Oh, I'm going way back now. It's not. Now every sitcom, you see an abomination before you, and they're trying to shove it down a young generation. They're trying to tell you that sin is okay. I'm here to let you know it's not okay. Can I get an amen? Amen. What God calls an abomination will always be an abomination. That's right. Thank you, God. And then God says here, and God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them in the earth. God did that. He had to. And let me just say this, for those of you who have not studied the Nephilim came during this time. They were darkened fallen angels that had sex with women. And then came these giants, these demonic beings. So God said, man, I have to erase what I just created and start all over again. My goodness. So we got to look at the character. We got to look at the character of Noah. Noah walked with character. Can I get an amen? Amen? These are numerous servants of God that mentioned in the Bible, many of them. But Noah was one of them. He walked with God. The other one was Enoch. We talked about Enoch was taken. He never saw physical death. Hallelujah. So hold on. Hold on to this ride. You know why? Because when Jesus comes, hallelujah, the dead in Christ shall rise first. We that are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with him. Hallelujah. Hold on. Hold on. Why? Because our change is coming. Oh, thank you, God. It's coming, saints. And so there are numerous ones that God mentions in the Word of God. Look what it says here in Genesis 6:9. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man. A just man. Look at this. Perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Hallelujah. And listen. Yes, we have faults and failures. Yes, we trip and stumble. But God says, hallelujah, confess your sin. He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Can I get an amen? God has made a way for us to walk this walk with him. There is no more excuse. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets you and press toward the call and the prize. Hallelujah. That's before us. And so all the people on the earth that day, only Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. He's the only one. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Hallelujah. Can you go home and say, God, thank you. Thank you that you found grace somehow when I was walking in wickedness at one time. You called me out of darkness into your marvelous light. You have cleansed me and washed me and has prepared me as a bride, chaste and white and pure. Hallelujah. That when you come, hallelujah, I'll be found in your eyes. Favor from the Lord God Almighty. Can I get an amen? You got to believe God for that. You got to believe God for that. Saints, Jesus said right before he returns, we just saw the little cute little cartoons of Noah, huh? And then we saw a replica. But look what Jesus said that would happen in the last days. Look what it says right here. This is the word of God. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. How were the days of Noah? They were wicked and violent. And everything that we watch on TV now, everything that we see on the news is violent. It's bombing somebody. It's destroying lives. Did you know that these bombs that were sent by us killed Christians over there too?
Come on.
There are people that love God. Here comes a bomb. Boom. Man, I'm telling you, we're living in days. In some horrible days right now. Turbulent days. Treacherous days. Hallelujah. And there's going to be a day coming that it's going to be a suddenly.
Come on.
Look at this. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. For 100 years, he was preaching, repent, repent, repent. And they laughed and they mocked at him. And they told him, look at this guy. He's lost his mind. They thought he was a hermit. They thought he'd lost it all. And they were probably mocking him as day by day this ark was being built. For 2,000 years, the gospel has gone out. Jesus is coming back again. And there's people that are still mocking it. Look at the verse 39. And did not know until the flood came and took them all away. The flood came. It came. So also will be the Son of Man. Hallelujah. He's not coming during peacetime. Oh, peace, love, Bobby Sherman. I'm taking you way back again. He's not coming back in peace. He's coming back when this world's in chaos. And we're seeing the tribulation now. Not the great tribulation, but we're seeing turbulent times or turbulent times. Come on. Unless I'm the only one that's seen it. And so, the world in Noah's day, the world in Noah's day describes the world and why God had to destroy it. He had to obliterate it. Why? Because it was so wicked. Look at this. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. All these Hollywood writers, all they do is invent ungodly things to perpetrate a whole entire nation, to spew upon ungodliness, that everything's okay now. We can still honor God and yet live in our sin. Look at this. He says that the heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. You know, unfortunately, there's people that justify their sin. Well, you know, God loves me. Yeah, well, you know, I'm sealed. Yeah, if you're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, guess what? You'll have an ongoing desire to honor him and to praise him and to worship him and to turn from sin. Can I get an amen? But God was grieved in his heart. And then, look what was added here. Then the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them in the earth. Wow. God made an indictment right there. And nobody back then could go to the courts of heaven and contest what God had proclaimed. No one could. God decreed it. And once God decrees something, it will come to pass. It will come to pass. And so after creating the earth and all the plants and animals along with Adam and Eve, you know, God made everything beautiful. He made it perfect. Look at what it says in Genesis. God saw that all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. It was good. It was good. Everything that God made. Listen, he made you perfect in his sight. He made you meticulously, and we are wondrously made.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. There's no fault in how he created you and I. But I asked this question, what happened? What happened? God created everything and it was good. What happened? What's that? Someone saw my notes. The answer is sin. 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 That's what happened. When sin entered into the world, Adam and Eve, everything changed and is still having its effect today. Can I get an amen? We are living in a time when society is becoming increasingly like the days of Noah, like Jesus wrote down and we just read it. Righteousness and holiness is no longer preached to the church. Just live any way you want. Don't talk about my sin. Don't talk about my drug abuse and use. And don't talk about my fornication. Don't talk about my adultery. Don't talk about my gambling. Don't talk about my pornographic addictions. Don't talk about that. Because it is well in my soul. Oh, yeah? Lord, have mercy. This is a wake-up call message because God woke me up to make this message. Come on. So, did you know that God has given us an assignment? He has given you and I an assignment. Well, look, he gave Noah an assignment, and it came directly from God. And what was the assignment? I need you to put on your spiritual awareness now. Bifocals, the ones that magnify the pages, huh? Yeah, reading glasses that are about 300 magnification. 3D glasses, huh? Oh yes. Look at this. Then God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them, and behold, I'm about to destroy them with all the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood." Now, God had given Noah an assignment. God has given us an assignment. And you know what that assignment is? Let your light shine bright before men. Hallelujah. This is the time to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. And not to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? For it's the power of God.
Right.
Hallelujah. The only thing that's going to change the hearts and men of this nation and this country that we live in is the gospel. Wow. It's the authority of God. It's the anointing of God. It's the Spirit of God that dwells in you. No one's going to hear unless a preacher is sent. Hallelujah. And he has sent us to preach this message to the world. Can I get an amen? Amen. We have to believe God that he has given us an assignment. And we need to take heed to the assignment. Can I get an amen? Amen. So saints, in a world where rain had never fallen, it never rained over there. And this is why they thought he was nuts. What do you mean rain? It never rained one drop. And plants were watered by mist that arose from the ground. This must have seemed like a very strange instruction, not only to Noah, but to the whole community. Furthermore, saints, Noah may not have had any building experience. Come on, I don't think he was an architect. I think the guy was just farming his fields just to survive, to eat of the ground. But when God gives someone a task to complete, he always supplies whatever it is. He will tell you, he will show you. Can I get an amen? Amen. Oh, yes, he will. Because we serve a living God. Hallelujah. We serve an awesome God. He's a mighty God. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Hallelujah. He's the bishop and lover of our souls. Hallelujah. Never forget what he's done for you. Hallelujah. Brother G, I believe, said, never forget what he's done for you. Because he will do it again. Hallelujah. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. We don't serve a dead God. We serve the living God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. So now we need to look at this ark. We need to look at this ark. What was the ark for? And so the Lord told Noah exactly how to build this ark. It was to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high with three floors. It was shaped like a shoebox. 1.5 football fields long and about 100,000 square feet of space inside. God knew exactly what was going to enter into that boat. And the only humans was Noah and his family. The whole community at that time shunned Noah. Thought he was mad. He's the mad scientist over there. He's a madman. But God knew exactly how big it should be, what material to use, and he showed him how to build it, how much food that was needed, and how many animals would be in it. The ark had one floor which God controlled and one window which Noah could control. There was no rudder. You know why there was no rudder? Because God was steering the boat. Hallelujah. Listen, some of us need to let go of our rudder. Come on, and let God steer us. Can I get an amen? He's got a better plan. His ways are better. The Bible says his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Can I get an amen? Thank you, God. God is a good God. We serve a mighty God. He's an awesome God. And so it also had no engine or sail. It was just wood floating on water, bouncing up and down. You know, if that was me on the boat, I would need a patch behind my ear and I would need something on my wrist, you know, to keep me from getting sick. I had to do that. If I go deep sea fishing, man, I'll be like this. If I don't put those things on, I'm done. I'm on my back, just trying to weather it. Oh, yeah, I've been there, done that. Everyone's catching all kinds of tuna, and I'm on my back. And they were gracious. They gave me about 5 tuna because there was an overflow catch. But I never had one battle. Lord, have mercy. And so, after 7 days, God shut the door when the rains came. He shut the door. Oh my gosh. Hallelujah. God's going to one day shut the door. And people are going to cry out, oh, and we're going to be gone. God's going to take us home. The water rose and covered all the mountains and prevailed over the earth for 150 days before it began to recede. Now, the Bible doesn't record that Noah and his family experienced what they experienced during the time, but we can imagine what it must have been like to hear the first raindrop when they all mocked and laughed. My goodness. And so you got to remember, it wasn't a picture for cartoons for a baby. That was judgment that came. So this is what God instructed him to do. This is the exact model of what God did. The three floors, you see that? It looked like a shoebox. It did. But God, hey, it's recorded thousands of years ago for us to understand that when God brought judgment then, he's going to bring it again before he comes.
Yeah, come on.
So look at this. There's another angle of it. It was huge. Listen, we want to go see this in Kentucky. So maybe we could all do a field trip, huh?
Yeah.
Now, it's judgment. You got to remember. Let's talk about the flood. Let's talk about the flood. Because he had to build the ark to prepare for the flood. God has raised you up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Why? Because the judgment that's coming. And God did not give us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of love, power, and of a sound mind.
Come on.
We are to warn others that judgment is coming. Can I get an amen?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. And we see what's coming now. We see it. The handwriting's on the wall. Oh, yes. In the book of Daniel, the whole government saw God's hand writing on the wall that judgment was coming for you. And it came. It came that night. We're seeing the writing on the wall across this world, right across this nation. It's about ready to bust out in World War III. It's coming. It's coming, saints. So the Bible, it doesn't record what Noah did in this particular thing. But we can imagine when the doors had to be shut. Look at this. They were all trying to get into this boat. Look at the scripture written. I just found this. It's John 10:9, I am the door. No one can go through the door but through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the door. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And no one can come to the Son unless the Father draws. This is why we need to cry out, oh God, draw them to your Son, oh God. That's why we have to live like lights before this dying world. Can I get amen? Because when judgment comes, they're going to be clawing anywhere. Oh God, where are you? And we're going to be gone. We're going to be gone.
Come on, Pastor. Come on.
Oh, yeah. The floods came. And then they found themselves like this, holding on to the last mountaintop. And then they finally perished. They finally perished. And the ark of safety, because God's hand was on it. You got to ask yourself, is God's hand upon your ark? Is he? Well, you can know for sure that the living God is living inside you.
That's right.
And you're honoring and worshiping and praising him and serving him in these last days that we live in. Everyone that Noah had known before was going to die. And the earth they knew would be devastated and forever changed. This was not a pleasant boat ride, saints, but a rescue from God's judgment on the world. The church right now should be a place of refuge. Not entertainment.
Come on.
Not to tickle your ears.
Come on, Pastor. Come on. Warm it up, Pastor.
This is a place where we come and say, God, hallelujah, instruct us in the way we should go. Lord, let us draw close to you. Lord, allow us to have your heartbeat. I want your heartbeat in me. So that you would know. Saints, this is a real moment in time. And God's about ready to do something radical. And I truly believe that when the revival comes that everyone's talking about, it's not coming during peace time. The revival's coming through calamity. Listen, when 9/11 took place, I was at Mission Valley Christian Fellowship at the Hotel Cinema Theater in Fashion Valley. It was where the first Star Wars movie was. And we were there for 3 years, and 9/11 took place. There was 1,000-seat capacity in this church. And when 9/11 hit, my God, there was not an empty seat, and we had to give up our seats as regulars. You got to give them up because there's people coming. And for 3 weeks, people crammed into that place, first, second, and third service. And then after 3 weeks, it was like, okay, they all went back home. And what the nation did, instead of repenting before a holy God, they got patriotic. Oh, God bless America. No, God has blessed America. America blessed God. So eventually the ark landed on a mountain. Several months later, the mountaintops became visible. In 40 days more, Noah opened the window and sent out a raven, which never returned. Then he sent out a dove, but it returned to him because the water still covered the surface of the earth. He had to be patient. They were in there rocking for all this time, knowing that God's hand was upon their lives. And God needed to replenish the earth again. So 7 days later, he sent out another dove, and it returned with an olive leaf in its bill. So Noah knew that there was dry land ahead. Hallelujah. I need you to just close your eyes and see that as he saw the olive branch coming in the dove, I need you to hear the footsteps of the Messiah, because he's coming. He's coming soon. Hallelujah. And he's about to come. Hallelujah. Amen. And take us home. He's going to take us home. Hallelujah. He's going to deliver us from this body of flesh that wars against the spirit. And 7 days later, he sent out another dove, returned it. And then after being enclosed for 365 days in this boat, it had no windows. We saw it had no sail. It had no rudder. Had no engine. It was God all by himself guiding it. Hallelujah. Then the Lord told Noah it was time to leave the ark. So then there was what? A new start. Hallelujah. How many of you can recall the day you gave your heart to Jesus Christ? You repented before a holy God, and then he changed you from the inside out. That was your new start. That was your new beginning. Can I get an amen? Because prior to us being saved, we were still living like Noah's days. I'm talking about us that are born again. Yeah, the world around us is like Noah, but you and I have been changed. Hallelujah, by the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, we are not the same people we used to be. We don't drink and chew and hang out with those that do. Hallelujah, God has sanctified us. He set us apart. Hallelujah. We are a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You got to believe that. Hallelujah. You got to believe God is doing something mighty in your life. He's doing something mighty in your family. Hallelujah. Gravitate to that because he's doing it all by himself. Thank you, God. And so from the time God told Noah to build the ark, and throughout the time inside of the ark, Noah kept trusting and obeying the Lord. This is the time that we see the wickedness of this world. You need to continue to trust and obey the Lord. Can I get amen? Amen. Continue to walk in his ways. Hallelujah. Don't falter. Don't leave the faith. Hallelujah. And right now, Jesus said in the last days there would be an apostasy. Many would run away from the truth. We're seeing it left and right. Not just in our church, but in all churches. I came from a 3,000 capacity church. Now they're down to almost 400. Do the math. Do the math. Do the math. Because no one wants truth no more. No one's hungering for the Word of God. Just let me feel good. Let me know that I'm okay. And then throw in money in the basket. And sometimes they'll want you to do it two or three times that one service. Lord, have mercy. It's not about a program. Can I get an amen? It's about a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about a program. Hallelujah. God is looking for fruit in our life. He's looking that we would sow in the ministry that he has sent it out to do. Can I get an amen? There's many lost men and women and children in the day that we live in. And only you have the prophetic voice to sow into their hearts, sow into their minds. Hallelujah. What must a man do to be saved? Jesus, help us. And the first thing he did when he went on to dry land is he worshiped God. And you know what? Prophetically speaking, the day we got saved, hallelujah, he put a praise, hallelujah, and worship in our heart, hallelujah. Listen, he set us free. He cut us free from all the debauchery, from all the ugliness of the world. And he put a song in our heart that we would praise him and worship him. And that's what Noah did. Look at this. Look what Noah did. He said right here, then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and every clean bird and offered a burnt offering on the altar. The first thing he says, I'm going to give you all the praise and glory. Hallelujah. Is that what you've been doing since you've been saved? Is giving them your best? And we're not talking about money. We're talking about your heart. Hallelujah. People get that mixed up. Well, if you're not giving enough, you must not have faith. It's not about that. It's about your heart. Hallelujah. Sold out for Christ. Jesus, help us. Jesus, help us. And God established a covenant with mankind and every living creature on earth. He promised that the earth would never be destroyed with water again. Aren't you so blessed? Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Look what he said. He established. Thus I established my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Notice he said waters. But the next judgment is by fire. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. How many know what the sign was to Noah? What was it? And if you go to Hillcrest, there's a rainbow flag that'll drape this whole block flying before the nostrils of God. Mocking God. They're taking the things that are holy and sacred, and they're now just waving it. Ha, ha, ha. Jesus, help us. Oh, where's the love, brother? You know what the love is? That you would repent. I'm going to share you truth in love so that you would repent and turn from your sin. That's the love. If you had no love, you would keep your mouth shut. Well, I hope they do go there. Can I get an amen? The love is to pull them out of the fire.
Come on. That's right. Come on, Pastor.
Oh, Jesus, help us. But he had the perfect example. Noah had the perfect example. Oh, yes. Oh, look what it says. I will set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign for the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow should be seen in the cloud. But what kind of rainbows are we seeing now? Jesus, help us. I believe the last president in the office put a rainbow flag on the White House. I really believe that's when the judgment started turning its wheels, right then and there. It's an abomination. It's an abomination. So Noah's life, it's an inspiration and an example that we should follow. Can I get amen? He was righteous. He was blameless. He was obedient, servant of God in an ungodly society. He believed what God said and did what he told him to do. He did it. He obeyed God. Yes, he did. And so he built that ark. But how did he build this ark? The New Testament proclaims it so that we can understand that it wasn't just thousands and thousands of years ago, but he built that ark, and the patriarchs, the prophets, they proclaimed it so that we could understand it in our day and time. Right here, and it's Noah's example. By faith, it was by faith. And we have entered into this covenant with God by faith. Can I get an amen? Through his grace. It was by faith, being divinely warned of the things not seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. You and I, by the blood of Jesus Christ, now God has proclaimed upon us the righteousness of Christ. Hallelujah. God has prepared our bodies as an ark. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. And now we have been, hallelujah, translated from darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. And God is going to save us from the guttermost to the uttermost. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. We're going to shine bright with the Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. God made a way when there was no way. He made a way for you, an escape route. Hallelujah. That we can enter in to this marvelous grace by faith. Thank you, God. Man, I'm telling you, when I read this, studying for this, I go, oh God, you made a way for us. And it was by faith. It wasn't by churchianity. It wasn't about do's and don'ts. It wasn't about religiosity. It was about God's word, that God is faithful. God is faithful. How many believe he's faithful? Thank you, God. Now, I need to ask you a question right up here, because we're coming in for a close. But if we believe what God did in Noah's day, do you really believe what God said he would do in the last days? Can you believe it? So, question. How do you suppose what the reaction will be when Jesus comes back again? Listen, we've been telling people Jesus is coming, huh? And what is the reaction in people? The amen. But what about the unbelieving world when you share the gospel? What are they? Well, really? We've been hearing that for how long? Well, that's what the prophets wrote. That's what Peter wrote down. Let's look at this right up here. 2 Peter 3:1-13. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of a reminder. God is reminding us right now. Can I get an amen? Because the word of God is alive, sharper than a two-edged sword, able to reach down into the bone and marrow. Look at this. That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by who? The holy prophets. And the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, what are we to be reminded of? Next verse. Knowing this, that scoffers will come in the last days. We know what scoffers are? Yeah, right. Uh-huh. Yeah, man. You need it, religion. You need it, God. That was good for you. And they're living in deep sin.
Come on, Pastor. Come on.
Mocking what God has done in your life. Telling you, man, yeah, right, man, these people have been saying this for years. Man, life is just going to go on like normal. Look at this. Knowing this, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. That's their excuse. Man, everything, it's all hunky-dory. Or you're just one of those goody-good two-shoes. Look at this. For since the fathers, look at that. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget. Say that with me. Willfully forget. One more time. Willfully forget. That's the mindset of the world. They have forgotten. Or even the backslider. Or even the one that's in church, playing church, but not part of the church. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. For this they what? Willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in water. It's talking about when Noah's days were destroyed by water. Can I get amen? Amen. So now that's another witness of what took place during the days of Noah. Next verse. By which the world that then existed perish, being flooded with water. Look at this. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. God is holding back the judgment because this time he's going to destroy it with fire. And don't argue with the messenger. I'm just a mailman delivering the mail right now. It's up to you to read the letter. This is not junk mail that you get in your mail. Oh, this is junk mail.
Come on, Pastor. Come on.
But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. So what he's saying is Jesus died 2,000 years ago. To God, that's only 2 days.
Come on.
In the economy of God. In the courts of, it's only 2 days that have gone by in heaven. It's been 2,000 years for us. Hallelujah. That's why people are looking at the clock. When is this preacher going to be done, man? I got some ribs. Hometown buffet is going to run out of ribs. I'm here to let you know that there are no clocks in heaven. Can I get an amen? If you can't endure a sermon like this, I have no more answers for you. I don't. Look what it says here. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. In other words, God, when God said it, he's going to do it. He's not slack. And what he promised to do, he will do. Whether you think not or you think that it's so, he's going to bring it to pass. Look at this. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This is why we need to let our light shine in these days. Why? Because we need to draw men and women that will repent. Someone, you know what? The churches nowadays, they won't say repent. They'll just say, oh, just say a simple prayer and go home and still live like the devil. No, there has to be a repentance. There has to be a turning away from sin. When you turn away from sin, that's when God will do the miraculous in your life. That's where he will empower you. You know why? Because your heart now is willing to do what he has called you to do. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with what? A great noise. It's not going to be a little shofar trumpet that I blast on Sunday morning. Today, it didn't even come out that was supposed to come out. Look at this. But in the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. That's the day of the Lord. That's when Jesus will come back again. He's not coming back during peacetime. And right now, we see what's happening in this world. We're picking a fight with Russia. We're provoking that bear to wake up. And the last thing we want, Russia, China, Iran, Turkey, South America, Mexico, that hates us now because of the wall. Cuba, they're going to team up in one day and they're going to come after us in one day. Oh, yeah. Why? Why? Because this country has left God. They kick God out of the courts. They kick God out of the schools. And I was so disappointed on this last bill that was passed by the president. $500,000 went to Planned Parenthood. Jesus, help us. This country has aborted more than 60 million babies. And the Bible tells me that before Israel was demolished, the last ungodly sin was they were sacrificing their babies to the altar of Baal. And now this nation's aborting them on the altars of Baal once again. I know you don't want to hear this. I got to stand before God if I don't say it. I'm sorry. Tag, you're it. You go preach now. Go teach. Go share with someone what's coming. Hallelujah. Look at this. Therefore, since all things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you ought to be in your holy conduct? If we know these things are coming, why are you still dabbling in sin? Why are you still straying? Why are you still listening to that beepity bop ba da bop 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 bop? And every other word is a curse word.
That's right.
All the music and right now, all it does is to inspire you to fornicate. What manner of person you ought to be in a holy conduct and godly, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise, say that with me, his promise, one more time, his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Aren't you so blessed that God has a place for us? We don't have to be bound up on this earth like that forever. He's got a place for us. He's got a place for us. Hallelujah. He has a place for us, saints, where righteousness will dwell. And so in the same way, we too can believe whatever God says. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
And trust him to direct our lives and provide for our needs as we patiently wait for the Lord, because he's about to come. Are you ready to see the Lord? Are you ready to meet him face to face? Can you honestly stand before God and say, God, I gave you my heart. I gave you everything, God. In God, just here I am. I stand naked before you, God.
Come on. Come on.
Can you honestly say you're going to stand before God? And so I close with these questions. Number one, have you ever felt that God required you to do something that seemed unreasonable or beyond your abilities? If God is saying run from sin, are you going to run for sin? Or are you going to what? I'm not ready to give that up yet, God. Is that too hard? Is that ability too hard? Maybe he's saying, hey, change your genre of what you're listening to. And put on something that will build up your faith, that will edify the Lord, instead of bringing glory to the devil. Last time I checked, we left his camp. And so we are no longer dancing with the devil. We're dancing with the Holy Ghost. Can I get amen? We have changed. Hallelujah. Dance partners. And you don't find him out there in the clubs on Friday night downtown. You'll find him, hallelujah, in the church of the living God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Well, we gather together. Amen?
Amen.
If you followed Noah's example, how would you respond? How How would you respond? Oh, yeah. You see, you can't fight this fight against this message because it was all word. If I had no word up here, you would have to put me in check. But the word came forth. Hallelujah. The word came forth to build you up, to prepare you for what's coming. Hallelujah. When you read a promise in God's word, are you confident that he will do what he said? I need for some of you to continue to believe for your loved ones that you're praying for. The devil will say, man, it's too late. It's too late. No, it's too late. You need to tell the devil that he is a liar and he's a father of lies. Can I get an amen? He that is greater in us is greater than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. And he's able to raise up the dead. Hallelujah. Yes, he is. You got to believe God for his promises. Hallelujah. Jesus came. He came to that hideous cross for you and I. He shed his blood for you and I. He was beaten and mocked and he was spat upon. And he called us, hallelujah, by his grace. And all you have to do is have faith the size of a mustard seed and you'll be able to move that mountain that's in your life right now. Many of you have mountains right now in your life. You can't see past that mountain, but God's able to destroy that mountain in front of you. Hallelujah. By faith. You got to believe he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. Come on, baby. Come on. Hallelujah. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You got to believe God. What he did then, he's going to do it again. Hallelujah. And the way he saved you, he's going to save your loved ones. Hallelujah. For the promise. Peter preached his first message, and his first message was repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall. Didn't say you might, didn't say maybe, didn't say maybe I'll text you or Facebook you. He said you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. For the promise, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all afar off. As many as the Lord God will call. Hallelujah. You got to believe God. That God's not done with you. God is not done with you. God is not done with you. Hallelujah. You got to believe God for your whole household. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God wants to do something mighty in your life. Hallelujah. But you got to believe God. You got to believe everything that he said. The Bible says that his thoughts are good toward you and not evil. Hallelujah. He has prepared a plan beyond we can comprehend. Hallelujah. But you got to walk in that grace. You got to walk in his love. Hallelujah. Jesus. 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 Thank you, God. Look at this. So if not, what causes you to doubt him? What's causing you to doubt him? Man, the testimonies that many of you have in this house, we can be here till next week on what God has done for us. Hallelujah. But for some of you, you're doubting him right now. You need to bind that thought. Jesus said that the devil is the father of lies.
Yes, he is.
And he is a liar from the beginning. Yep. He was a murderer.
Yep. That's right.
And he is the accuser of the brethren.
Right. Come on. Come on.
So when you have these ungodly thoughts towards your brother and sister, that's not coming from God. When you have aughts with them and you can't learn how to reconcile, and it's like, you did this, you dirty rat. God is saying, get right. Hallelujah. Or get left. How does Noah's example motivate you to believe and trust in the Lord? We just read God's word. It's up to you to take it with you now. It's up to you to hide his word in your heart that you may not sin against him. That's what King David cried out. Oh, Lord, hide your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Hallelujah. You have to have the word of God dwell up in you richly. The word of God needs to be alive. The word of God has to be the focal point in your life. Hallelujah. It has to be the final authority in your life and in your home. But if you got a home and there's nothing but devil music in your home, man, you got to kick that thing out. Be gone.
Come on. Come on, Pastor. Come on. That's right.
There's no compromise with God. No compromise. God is allowing me to say these things right now because the Holy Ghost has prompted me to. Because he wants our house in order before he comes.
Come on, Pastor. Come on.
Get your house in order, saints. Get your house in order. Why? Because then we can stand blameless before him. Oh, God, I laid aside these things. I just want you, Jesus. I just want you, Lord. I want you in my life and nothing else matters. Can I get an amen? Can I get amen in the house of God?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Listen,
amen.
There's someone listening to this message right now.
Come on, Pastor.
Maybe they've never given their heart to Jesus.
Come on.
Maybe somehow, some way, they've gone astray.
Yes.
And now they stumbled onto this message. Someone maybe gave them a CD. Maybe someone told them to go to the website and listen to this message. If that's you right now, God is calling you right now. Hallelujah. God is saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to me unless the Father draws. And Father, I pray right now, Lord, those who are listening to this message, that you would draw them by the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, that you would do a work in their heart right now, God. Lord, that you would raise them up from the dead. Hallelujah. Lord, that you would give them life and life more abundantly right now in the name of Jesus. If that's you right now, or maybe you're here. Maybe you're here and you've never surrendered. You've never been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is saying right now, God wants to deal with you right now in his loving way and to give you life, to give you a new life. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So if that's you, pray this prayer right now. Now, I need you to get a hold of this. It's not the prayer that saves you. It's your faith in Jesus Christ that'll save you. Prayer is just a tool that God has given sinful man here on earth to communicate with the holy God in heaven. So he's given us that tool of prayer that we can cry out to God. And if you're here listening to this message right now, pray this prayer right now. And saints, pray this with me. Pray this with me right now. Dear Lord Jesus, I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you. All the days of my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give him a shout of praise and glory in the house. Come on, praise him. Hallelujah. Give him praise and glory in the house. Jesus is worthy. Jesus is worthy. Hallelujah. Jesus is worthy. Hallelujah.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, May God bless you, and thank you for listening.